Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. Anytime.
Awesome. So you live in Nashville via Pennsylvania. So how did you get started in DJing and also into country music, for that matter?
Yeah, man. I moved from Pennsylvania just about 6 years ago via Chicago. I went to college in Chicago, so kind of bounced around there. But,
right.
Yeah, dude, I started DJing. This is always a funny conversation to have with people. I started DJing when I was 12 years old. My mom got married, remarried. And when she did, the DJ was this really cool dude. And he like, you know, I'm the 12 year old running around
right.
you know, and bothering the DJ. Cause I just thought what he was doing was so cool, how he would
right.
interact with the crowd and, you know, basically, in a way, manipulate the way that people were having mm-hmm. fun. You know, I was always a performer. I was always a kid that jumped up on table and sang, you know. So the idea of being the center of attention appealed to me as a DJ. So after that night, after him, like, kind of showing me the ropes, I guess, I decided how, you know, hey, well, I should be a DJ. This is so cool. He's like, he's totally the cool guy in the room. So I saved up $100. Totally true. I saved up $100 and I had my dad take me to Radio Shack. And I said, Dad, I want to buy a DJ mixer. He goes, why the hell? Why the hell? $100 on a mixer. I'm like, because I want to be a DJ. And I joke about it with him quite a bit.
Right.
And because he seriously was like, that's a stupid investment. Like, it, you know, you're 12 years old. Right. $100 is a lot of money. Right. We weren't very wealthy. So anyways, I buy this mixer and I kind of threw together, the mixer, and then I had two, like, Walkman CD players.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up, that was my rig. It was two Walkman CD players plugged into this janky $100 Radio Shack mixer. And I used to, what I do is I would plug in the output of the mixer into my dad's stereo, and I would just literally just learn how to like crossfade back and forth. You got to remember, this is like, I mean, not before the internet, but before it was easy enough as a 12-year-old to jump online and learn how to DJ. It was like,
learned. it's also at a time as the emergence of the DJs now, you know, it's not wedding DJs. So yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah. So I taught myself, and my first gig was actually my grandparents' 25th wedding anniversary. there's pictures of it, man. It's so funny. I made up a banner that said DJ Josh, which is my first name. I printed that out on my parents' computer, and my setup was that rig, my dad's like boombox stereo, which the speaker is disconnected so I could point them towards the crowd, you know?
Right.
And then all of my dad's CDs.
right.
And they were like, all right, rock it. And I literally had a like Christmas lights. That was what I had for.
right.
So yeah. And the picture's still around. It's funny. But, yeah. So I started that and like, it was crazy. Like, my sister's friend was having a birthday party. I mean, she was like maybe eight or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And her mom was like, hey, we'll pay you, I don't know, it was like $50 or something. We'll pay you $50 to come and play music at her party. And I was like, all right, this is awesome, like $50 to do this. And I found out at 12 years old that I could make a living, or at least I thought, make a living DJing. And slowly but surely, I started to acquire like actual professional equipment. And by the time I was in junior high, man, I was making more money than anybody I knew, like combined at my age. I was 15, 16 years old, and I was personally playing drums. Even from 15, I had a Ford Ranger with a 5x8 box trailer. I mean, at 16 years old, I was rolling. I was rolling in the dough. And it was just funny because my parents like were just blown away. They're like, I can't believe that you like, you're literally running a business at 16. Like my mom couldn't have done that.
Like, right.
So anyways, that's I got started. You know, I did the whole, if you want to call it a their portable DJ, mobile DJ thing all through junior high, high school, made a bunch of money doing that. It was great. And realized, I was like, man, you know, I just love audio. Maybe I should go to school for this. So I did.
Uh-huh.
I went to Columbia College in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
Graduated with a bachelor degree in audio arts and acoustics. And, and all through high school, all through college is really where Hish became what I am now. So, our school had, school or a media school, whatever you want to call it. And we actually had we actually had two classes, Club DJ 1 and Club DJ 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you literally go to this class, go to the stores and pick out records with your class and get credit for it. And I was like, this is dope. So it was really those 4 years in Chicago where I learned the craft of what I consider real DJing. as far as getting on actual turntables, learning how to mix and blend and do all the things that makes a good DJ what they are.
Right. That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, man, I was, my first, I guess, official like club gig was actually, it was on the Upper West Side, and it was at a 95% Puerto Rican bar. And were black, and they it was just I was the white boy. I was like literally the white boy. But the guy that the promoter, to be completely honest, I don't remember how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
But he age, you know, in which you can't be in a bar unless you're 21.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, I'm 18, I think. He was 18, 19, and he goes, Hish, you know, like I've seen you do your thing. Well, it was that's right. We had a mutual friend that actually was one of their DJs.
Hmm.
He's like, I've seen you do your thing. He's like, you should come in and play. And this place, like I said before, it was, you know, it wasn't in the nicest part of town. I don't think really too many people were concerned about the fact that I was in a bar. There's a lot of other things going on that they'd be concerned about.
Right.
So I played the Absolute Lounge for about 2 years and really learned how to read a crowd and, you know, and the funny part too is I'm playing nothing but hip hop and like like reggaeton and all this stuff that I've literally like never known. I had to learn pretty much every song that was ever created in 2 weeks time.
Right.
but yeah, in Chicago I did a lot of clubs and met a lot of DJs, and you know, Chicago is the birthplace of house music, so I learned that's kind of where I developed my my craft, I guess.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Right. So, but yeah, and you also write your own music too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not, I was a drummer. I was born a drummer since I was like 5 years old. I did drumline all through junior high and high school. That's what I did. And I never actually, like in high school, like, high school rock band songs, but it wasn't until being in college that I actually got my first guitar and started like taught myself. It was actually Eric Church's first album that inspired me to start songwriting. And it was I got a guitar from my grandfather. He gave me he just had this acoustic guitar and he gave it to me, and I learned the first song I learned was Carolina by Eric Church. One of my favorite songs. Sorry, was it Carolina? It was the second album came out. So yeah,
gotcha.
It was Carolina. Really easy song to play. And after that, after learning that song, I just taught myself guitar and started writing. And that's what made me really want to come to Nashville. You know, I always, my mom's 90s country, I knew about Nashville. Just from seeing Dwight Yoakam videos, because I'm a big Dwight Yoakam fan. And I just always had this idea in my head that Nashville was going to be the like a cool place to live, because it just seemed like heaven on earth. Like there's live music everywhere and everyone plays. And it was just like, it was kind of like this like crazy idea. Like, man, I want to do that someday. But, you know, you go through high school, you go through college, you go through a lot of changes in life as far as, you know, the music you listen to, the kind of the people you like to hang out with and all that. So in college, I was like country music. I like for a good two or three years, I was listening to nothing but hip hop and top 40 and Spanish music. It's just still so funny to me that was like my first gig. But anyways, yeah, I started writing music, and when I started doing that, me and my friend Claire, she was an artist. She went to Columbia for music, and she, you know, I always was like, man, Claire, like, we gotta go to Nashville, like, we gotta go check it out. It was an 8-hour drive. I was the only one of my friends with a car in the city, just because of where I lived.
Right.
And I was like, Claire, I was like, I know you don't like. She's one of those girls that I just don't listen to country music. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I like.
Right.
I get it. She grew up in Chicago. It just wasn't her scene.
I said,
Claire, listen to me. And she was one of my best friends. I said, Claire, listen, I want to go to Nashville. I need somebody to go with me. And I really think it's going to benefit you. Just to give you an idea of, like, the things that are outside of Chicago. Because she thought she would either stay in Chicago and do music or, like, go to L.A.
Right.
And I was like, I've never been there. But I want to go see Eric Church at the Wild Horse Saloon. This one specific night. And I was like, and I really want you to go. We had a mutual friend down here. And I basically dragged her into the car. She's like, all right, I'll go. So the first time we drive down, we get to Nashville, and just coming in, I'm looking at what was then the Skyline, which is hilarious compared to now.
Right.
But I'll never remember. I'll never forget driving in 65 and seeing the Skyline and just like having this crazy, just warm feeling inside of me. Like, oh my God, like I always talk about coming here and like, holy crap, here we are.
So
first night in Nashville, I had like a life changing experience, you know, within minutes of like, we went to my buddy's place, and in Chicago, it was still kind of cold the time of year was.
Sure.
It's like 60 some. In my buddy's backyard, grilling within an hour of being in Nashville. We're grilling, we're drinking beers, and you know, he has his buddies coming over, and they're like picking on. Oh my God, is this actually what it like Nashville's like? I just thought, like, you know, what you see on TV or in movies, like there's no way that people actually just like hang out and
push
all the time.
That people are that nice, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Nashville landscape, the music landscape has really changed there too. How did you think that, or why did you think that EDM, electric dance music, would mesh with country music?
It's funny, man. It all started, when I moved to Nashville, like I told you, I moved here because I knew I wanted to be a songwriter. So I sold all of my DJ equipment for two reasons. One, because I thought I was putting it up. And two, because I needed the money to, you know, to come to Nashville,
Right.
So I moved down here and I'm working for Apple, and it was so random. A couple months after being here, my friend Nicole Buckley, I like owe it to her. Because she found out just from like going online and like finding Facebook pictures of me from like back in Philadelphia that year I moved home. She goes, you're a DJ. And you're like a legit DJ. Like, you have fans and stuff. And I was like, how'd you know that? She goes, you can find anything on the internet. I was like, all right, good point. She goes, do you not DJ anymore? I was like, honestly, I kind of thought it was like the next page. And then I sold all my stuff. She goes, no, that's awesome. She's like, there's not a lot of DJs in Nashville. You should totally still do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Well, a couple days later, she goes, do you have plans Friday night? I was like, no. She goes, good, because I signed you up for a DJ competition. I was like, what? I was like mad. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't even remember the name of the station. It was the local top 40 station. Mm-hmm. Was looking for DJs for their mix shows.
Mm-hmm.
And she signed me up. She literally just like, yeah, I signed you up. So you got to be there. Like, I'll go with you. We got to be there at 7:30 on Friday. And I was like, oh, my God, I have not touched a vinyl record in 6 months. And I'm literally going to walk up on stage with my laptop, plug into this rig, and throw together a set, like, just off, you know, just go for it. And it was a top – what's funny is it was a top 40 station, and at the time in Chicago, I was playing nothing but, like, dubstep and trap, because it was that's the crowd that I was playing.
Sure.
That was the last kind of genre of stuff I was playing at that time.
So you currently have your single, Broken Heart Rehab, out right now. And are you working on – tell us about that song. And are you working on a full album or some more singles?
Yeah, for sure, man. Once I started to kind of do a lot more writing, you know, I was also – you know, I was DJing. So I was kind of doing a lot of production. And that's when, you know, me and my manager said, hey, man, like I was out on tour with Brantley Gilbert. And, you know, very quickly we saw how well this was going to go for me as a career. Mm-hmm. And my manager actually, he's from London. So he's very familiar with how the career of a DJ goes compared to like just, you know, like a frontman musician.
Sure.
So he goes, man, we got to do original content. That's what's going to take you from being just DJ to an artist. You know, like your Steve Aoki's and Chainsmokers level, you know? And I said, all right. So I was like, cool. Well, I'm going to start focusing on this genre that I'm like creating myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, Broken Heart Rehab was a song that I went in. A buddy of mine had the idea, but we went in and, we had a track that we started with, which is, kind of becoming much more common as far as going into a room with writers and starting with a track rather than just picking up a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a baseline track on, and we had this idea of Broken Heart Rehab, like, yeah, and like, you know, people go to rehab to like fix their addiction. Well, like, love can be an addiction, you know, like we're talking about all this stuff, and there was a girl in mind and all this stuff. And, we just wrote that song. I mean, that song was written in one sitting, and then, as far as production takes, you know, on, especially on EDM music, it's, you know, 90% of the song is production. It's sitting in front of a computer. It's tracking guitars and miking everything. It's that. So the song itself was written in one day, but then the production took, you know, days.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, we put that song out on Silverado Records just recently. And dude, the feedback has been so awesome. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, you always, you know, they say like, you're not doing something right unless you have haters. but believe it or not, the feedback, I can't even think of one instance where, now I think there was like one tweet one time, some kid was like, this isn't country music. And, you know, it's, and, you know, and I tweet back when I get that kind of stuff on social media, man, I take that as like, you know, it's positive feedback no matter what. Cause that means I said, hey man, I was like, I'm a traditional country guy myself, just playing around with some new ideas. Thanks so much for listening. And he immediately was like, well, I actually do like it. You know, I don't understand why it's considered country. And I was like, well, it's actually in iTunes, it's under dance. So I was like, and he was just like, he ended up being like super cool. He was like, all right, man, well, I'm gonna show my friends this. But, yeah, man, it's nonstop, man. You know, just about every day we write, just about every day I'm sitting down working on new tracks. Definitely have some new stuff coming out really, really soon. Not sure exactly how I want to release it. A lot of DJs release single after single after single.
Sure, yeah.
And that is actually, in the DJ world, that's almost a better way to do stuff as far as keeping momentum up.
Right.
But I do want to release, I'm probably going to release an EP pretty soon as well. So that's kind of up in there right now. Actually, next week we have some meetings about it. But yeah, dude, music's coming. It's not stopping. The feedback with Broken Heart Rehab has been insane. We've booked so many shows just because of it. You know, people are like, this is a thing. This is like a new thing you've created, and we want to be part of it. And literally, even just yesterday, we got another show coming up now in July in Kansas. So it's like nonstop every day, man. It's grind, and I love it. I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't do a whole lot of sitting down or sleeping. It's like go, man.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Well, I think that's just also the face of country music these days. It's completely changing. How has it been for you when you open for people like you mentioned, like Brantley Gilbert and other people as a DJ? How are the crowds reacting as you? Because they're usually expecting a band up there.
Right. So this is a conversation I've had with a billion people. Basically, the question is, how does what you do work, and how do people react, and how do people react to it? Like you're playing country music, but you're not just playing country music, you're playing hip hop, and you're like, how does it work? And I said, it's simple. Country music is the most popular genre in all of the U.S. It brings in more money than any other genre. Mm-hmm. And I said, so there's more country fans than people realize. Like, people who don't listen to country at all don't realize how big country music is.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, country music fans are hip hop fans. They're pop fans. They're dance fans. They listen to EDM. Country music fans listen to everything. Right. It's not, I think people just think, if you listen to country, you're backwoods hometown boy and you don't listen to anything else, which isn't true. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, and me and my buddies, when I was in junior high school, that's when, you could start making CDRs.
Yeah.
And, I would explain, so we grew up, making CDRs. The first track would be Jason Aldean, Dirt Road Anthem or whatever. Second song would be Keith Urban. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third song on that CDR might be Ludacris. Ludacris, right. Get out the way.
right.
The people my age grew up listening to a mixed genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it works and the reason that people love it at these shows is they come in and they want to party. You go to a show, you go to a movie. You go into it to forget about what's on the outside and focus on having a good time and being in the moment. And that's what I tell people. I said, I like to create an experience during my shows. Mm-hmm. My show isn't just a DJ up on stage playing music. It's a full experience when it comes to everything from the production to what I'm playing,
Right.
And when I'm up there, man, I give it 150%. I'm running around. I'm jumping. I'm throw my hands up, talking to the crowd. It's a total just go for it attitude. And people love it. I mean, For me to, the whole story, how my touring career started was, I was just doing the 9 to 5, and Sunday afternoon, we went out Saturday night, got pretty hammered, and we were sitting around Sunday, and I get a phone call from a random Georgia number. Hmm. And I used to not answer, numbers I didn't know until phone call.
Until this phone call.
Until this phone call. Now I answer every call that comes through, if I don't know the number or not. But I answer it, and I'm like, hey, this is Josh. Hey, man, this is Brantley Gilbert. And I'm like, who is it? I mean,
right.
Because you never know. I've heard stories, so you don't say, oh, man, who's messing with me? But sure enough, Brantley Gilbert called me, and he said, hey, man, my tour starts on Wednesday, and a friend of mine showed me what you do. She showed me your remix of Bottoms Up, my song Mixed with Drake, started from the bottom. He goes, I'm actually a big hip-hop fan. People don't know it, but I'm a big hip-hop fan. I like what you do. Do you want to go out on tour with me? And, I'm sitting there, and I'm like,
That's funny.
Like this dude that I grew up listening to is calling me on my cell phone asking me to go out on tour with him on an arena tour for 45,000 people a night. So I'm like, okay. So that Monday, that was Sunday. I go into my job on Monday. I quit my 9 to 5 job. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday night, I got on the tour bus for the first time and went out on tour with Brantley Gilbert. And he goes, I said, man, what do you want? The first night I rode the bus with him, I'm like, what do you want? What do you want me to do out there? Mm-hmm. He goes, do your thing. They'll love it. Mm-hmm. I was like, do my thing. Okay. And sure enough, that's what he did, man. I got out there, played my mixes of country music. I threw in a bunch of throwbacks and eighties, just whatever I thought, I've been doing this forever. A good DJ knows how to read the crowd. End of story. And it worked, man. And after that, I got picked up on some other tours. Me and my buddy Chase Bryant actually did a tour where I opened up for him, and that was the full show. So it was a very, very party-like atmosphere. We did a lot of colleges and stuff like that. And then, in between, I'm doing all of my shows at festivals and stuff like that. And then this past year, I went out with Dustin Lynch and Chris Lane on the Hell of a Night tour. That was the most recent tour that I did with other artists. Yeah. And now, man, now that I'm putting out my own music, it's all about getting out there and doing my shows. Like I am, I am the reason people are coming, which is the best feeling in the world because, going out with Dustin Lynch clearly was amazing, but those people aren't necessarily coming to see me.
Sure.
I'm just part of the show. They're coming to see Dustin and it was an amazing experience, but now, when I'm playing these festivals, I've played Stagecoach now for the past 2 years, Country Thunder for at least three. This is my fourth year, I think. Like when those kids are coming into that room or tent where I'm playing, and there's 5,000 kids in front of me screaming, jumping, doing whatever, I realize I'm like, this is the coolest feeling in the world because those kids are literally standing here jumping because I'm in this room, nobody else.
Right.
So now it's all about me touring and, I'm looking to do a lot more touring here in even the next 6 months. It's going to exponentially grow, but get out there and play my own shows. I just got back from, April has been a crazy month for me. I had, the ACM Awards. I went out there and I played three shows for the ACM Awards. I did Country Thunder the weekend after this past weekend. I played with Chase Bryant up in Massachusetts. And this weekend I'll be back out at Stagecoach in California.
Right.
So it's busy, man. It's been a really good year so far.
Right. And they have a really interesting lineup this year for Stagecoach too. It's not always just the typical country. There's a lot of really variety, a lot of Americana acts and different things like that.
For sure, man. And that's why Golden Voice, which is the company that runs Coachella and Stagecoach, they get it. I'm telling you, they know how to do it right. Because once again, kind of like with what I do, people like country fans want to hear their Shania Twain and their Dierks Bentley, their headliners that are going to be there. But they also are fans of other stuff, not just straight up top 40 country. Which is why they have things like me. You know, right. I'm like the Late Show. Those kids know that at the end of the night, they can go dance to all their favorite songs that are on the radio right now, along with country. And, you know, that's why they have, you know, the acts that you're talking about, like some of those acts that aren't necessarily from Nashville. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They're from, right. you know, they're from yeah. different parts of the country or even the exactly. world, and they play different stuff. So they know, right. they get it.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, that's a nice evolution from your grandparents' anniversary party to playing huge festivals like this.
Yeah, man. It's been crazy. I mean, I've been really blessed, like, through the years. You know, there's definitely been times where I doubted doing what I do now, mm-hmm. only because it's, you know, being a musician in Nashville is the hardest thing to do.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. as being in Nashville, it's like,
right.
Not everybody can do this for a living. Not everybody knows how to work hard enough to get to a point where you don't have to work another job.
Right.
And us lucky few that figure out a way are really happy, and we know it. Like, we know that we should be happy, and that, you know, we worked hard enough to get here. We should, you know, just be happy with where we're at.
Exactly. Last question or information here. Where can people
yeah.
find your music online?
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, right now my single Broken Heart Rehab is available on all streaming channels, as far as Spotify, et cetera. It's also on iTunes. If you want to click that download button, you can. And then, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Pretty much every channel that's out there, you can get it.
Nice. As well as on your website too, right?
Yeah. If you go to hishmusic.com, there's links to social media and the iTunes store and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and good luck with Stagecoach this weekend.
Thanks, man. It's going to be a good time.